From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida, you are listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.
What is up, everybody? This is your host of the Striking Corner podcast, Eric Rivera. And as always, I am joined by my good friend, Vinny Scotto. What is going on, man?
Oh, hello.
This is a new thing. This is a new thing. Our first video podcast. Well, if you guys are listening to us, as always, on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, then you won't be seeing us. But if you are on YouTube, this is actually our first video podcast. So, you know, we're really excited. And if you guys are listening on the audio, definitely go to Striking Corner on check out our channel on YouTube, and you will see the video version of the podcast. And we're excited about it. So, as always, guys, you can check out our social media. I'll put our names up there. My is on Instagram, is where I'm most active. So Eric Rivera underscore TSC. Vinny, how can they get in touch with you?
On Instagram at Vinny Scotto.
All right, guys. So, you know, we're really happy to have the, you know, this new way of getting in touch with you guys. You know, we've always talked about it and how we wanted to do it. And then, my lazy ass finally got up to fucking doing it after so long. But yeah. Also, one thing is, we always said, you know, as we got closer to 100, I was actually waiting for 100, and Vinny was like, fuck that, let's just start doing it. So that's what you see. Obviously, you can follow us.
Because if we waited till 100, like Eric wanted to, it would have been 110.
For sure. Obviously, guys, a lot of crazy stuff going on right now. We know, you know, if you guys are listening right now, obviously this, you're in the middle of all this stuff with coronavirus and everything. But we can still do the podcast and we can still entertain you guys that way. And we're finally back after a long layoff for the holidays. And then me, I was actually moving into a new house and getting everything set up. And I really did want to do this. I wanted to have a studio in the house. And as you can see in the background, I got this big poster printed for TSC. Nice.
Fancy banner back there.
What happened?
Nice fancy banner back there.
Yeah. So, and I'm actually thinking of painting the wall and everything. But, you know, we wanted to get stuff done. So, so anyway, guys, we're really happy to be back. And this is a new edition. And tell us in the comments how you feel about it. I'm pretty sure YouTube is always so nice. The comments are always so beautiful. So I know you guys are probably going to This is going to be fun. But, You know, fire away. Anyway, guys, this episode is brought to you by Fight City Fitness, Fight City Muay Thai and Fitness. That is in 7 Pitts Bay Road in Hamilton, Bermuda. The owners and coaches are Chuck Morgan and Nikki Stout, good friends of ours. Ring-tested Muay Thai, and they're specialized in transforming beginners to ring-ready athletes, Thai boxing for fitness and weight loss. And we always, you know, we're very happy to have them. They've been sponsoring the show for some time, and, you know, we're always happy to have to talk about them, and they're really great out there in Hamilton, Bermuda. So if you're ever in that island, check them out. They're doing big things for Muay Thai on the island, and they're very, very active in the community. So definitely nothing but love for them. Vinny, tell me what's going on. I know this is a time of craziness, but how's everything going, man?
I mean, it's going as good as can be at the moment. I mean, it's pretty much it.
Yeah, man. You know, well, guys, you know, we have, you know, we want to jump right into it. We don't have any other big announcements or anything, big things going on in the sense of, you know, besides the craziness that's going on, and we want to focus too much on that. We have a really, really good friend of ours, and somebody that's probably one of the best coaches in the U.S. for Muay Thai, none other than Brian Popejoy, and he will join us in just a second. So stay tuned here, and we'll be right back with Brian Popejoy.
The Striking Corner.
All right. Hello, everybody. And as we had mentioned, we're here with our good friend Brian Popejoy out of Boxing Works in, what is it, Torrance or Hermosa Beach?
We are in Lawndale now. We moved recently. So
you moved
bigger
again.
Spot.
Oh, nice.
Moved okay. again.
Tell us about that, man.
You want to hear? Oh, it's.
I mean, yeah, let's sure. See. We didn't know you moved.
Didn't really want to initially, but, you know, I'm learning as I go along with negotiating with landlords that at the end of your lease, like to renegotiate at market value means at the end of your lease, they're gonna fuck you. So, so we went from like, our rent jumped up by like $5,000 basically.
Ouch.
Yeah. Which, led us to moving. So actually we got a really fantastic spot. It was occupied by another gym. It just wasn't working out for them. So we were able to slide in on their lease, and in 7 years, our rent will be less still than it would have been at the place we were at in Torrance. So that's good.
And how far is the commute?
It's about 2.5 miles from the other gym. So it's not far at all.
So it's not too bad.
Very painful for your members either.
No, it's like one left turn off of the same street we were on. So it's beautiful. Minimal. Yeah.
Nice. All right, man. So obviously, listen, guys, I mean, we've had Brian on the podcast before. We don't want to go too much into, you know, the background. If you guys want to check that episode out where we talk a little bit more about Brian's history and things like that, you guys can check that out. You know, first of all, we want to celebrate. This is, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, this is our first video podcast. Brian, you're kind of the guinea pig. There's, you know, before we started this whole thing, there was a whole mess of technological difficulties. So we're hoping to iron that stuff out. And we wanted to do it with somebody that kind of tolerates us, because if not, it would be a lot tougher. But
if you notice, Eric hasn't learned how to talk into a camera yet. He just keeps looking down at his keyboard.
No, because I'm looking at the screen. I don't want to get caught like a deer in headlights, but you know, no, man. So we're really happy to have you. But like I said, if you guys don't know about Brian's story, you can check out, that out in the other podcast. But Brian, I know, I mean, right now, huge news, obviously, man. Congrats. Obviously, you know, Janet Todd winning the belt of the ONE Championship. That was for kickboxing, correct? It was the kickboxing title.
That was the kickboxing title.
Yeah,
correct.
That's right. So the kickboxing title against Stamp Fairtex in Singapore, huge, huge accomplishment. You know, we were all super excited. I remember, you know, just to, you know, I mean, Vinny and I were chatting while that fight was going on. I was in my car driving to work. And
you gotta be careful.
Yeah, I know, man. I had it like pinned to the windshield so I could, you know, I just didn't want to crash, but it was thankfully towards the end of my commute. But definitely didn't want to miss that. You know, we've always been big fans of Janet, big fans of yours, man. And so congrats on that, you know. And I know it was a crazy experience, because obviously, you know, we're doing this in the time of, unfortunately, you know, where the world is going through this crazy thing, which is coronavirus and everything. But we're doing it right now where the U.S. is actually impacted. But, you know, when you guys were over there, it was pretty much, I guess, more limited to Asia. And you were in Singapore and you guys had to do it behind closed doors, pretty much, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So, I mean, talk to me a little bit about the whole experience. I mean, obviously let's not focus on the negative, but that, you know, coronavirus thing, but let's talk about the whole experience of, you know, Janet winning. I mean, she went in there, she looked great. I know you guys have been working hard since the first time they fought. Just tell us about how it went, man.
Wow. Where to start? Well, it was, first of all, dealing with ONE Championship, it is the easiest, some of the easiest experiences I've ever had as, you know, a coach or in a slight management position, ultimately professional. The staff there is great. They take care of everybody. They always put us in a really nice place and just treat the athletes fantastically. So that's something else. You know, first of all, the organization is outstanding. Getting the opportunity for the rematch, you know, is something that Janet's always kind of said in interviews that she feels like she kind of figured things out in that last round of the first fight. Mm. You know, she suddenly just, you know, the confidence she needed or you know, the attitude that she needed to go in with. You know, she just figured it out a little too late in the first go around. So in the second go around, it was almost just like, and we said it right before the bell rang. It's like, okay, this is like round six, go. And off we went. So off she went. And I don't want to make like I was in there. Anything like tag team. You know, but man, what else can I tell you? What was really, really, really cool, it was the same venue as last year, as the first fight. You know, so from like a visualization standpoint, man, it's like we could just map the whole thing out and, you know, make the fight happen in your head, you know, before it even happened. And I think that was really helpful for her, just to be able to visualize, you know, she knows every turn you're going to have to take getting up to the circle. That's what they call their cage, you know, getting up to the circle. And, you know, the surroundings were familiar. Everything was familiar, mm-hmm. You know, all the media obligations, all the extra things that go into it, you know, mitigating the, you know, two weigh-ins and hydration tests. Like you said, a year ago, everything was brand new. This time it was very familiar, very home. And I think very much like home. I think that made a big difference.
Yeah.
How was it coaching without any noise from fans and stuff like that? Like just being in a closed venue like that.
It was strange. I didn't realize I had quite that big of a mouth, but apparently I'm allowed. It's like I can hear everything I'm saying echoing. And then like on the replays too, it's like I have to hear my voice, which is probably the reason I won't be watching this replay, because, you know, your own voice always, you know, it sounds really weird on the replay. But no, it was really strange because just that absence of I don't even know, you call it white noise, background noise, whatever. I mean, it was just echoey. It was really, really bizarre having that type of situation. But in a way, it was nice because everything we're, you know, communicating during the fight is crystal clear. And then you can actually kind of hear the other people too. So,
so, you know, actually I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, Brian, because, you know, Stamp, I mean, her team's communicating with her, in Thai, I assume. Mm-hmm. Right? I know, you know, you're married to, you're married to Thai. I mean, how good is your Thai, you know, to,
not that great, but can you
understand a lot? Or was Tiki in the corner with you?
Or? Tiki's in the corner with you. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've hired her on.
Yeah, but do you understand like Muay Thai, Thai, like, you know, everything. Like I know from my family being in like pizzerias my whole life, where they always, you know, there's always a lot of Mexican guys that work in the pizzeria, so my family would know pizza Spanish, you know, like restaurant Spanish because of that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, do you know Muay Thai, Thai? Like,
I would say, yeah, I would say it tends to lead more towards Muay Thai, Thai than, you know, a conversation. I mean, still practical things like, you know, where is the bathroom and all that.
Yeah. But if they're like, if they're yelling like cow and talk and, you know, they're trying to tell, you know, you kind of, you know, what their game plan is, I guess, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, it's like, you know, I said that almost jokingly. It's like, you know, you don't, yeah. I don't think you really take too much stock in that. I mean, there's a couple of, you know, a couple of moments of a couple of things, but nothing major. I don't think it, you know, really made that much difference, but it was sure was interesting.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, that was a whole crazy thing. I mean, obviously this whole situation has caused, you know, things to be nutty. And I mean, I don't think that's ever been seen where a combat sport is, you know, contested behind closed doors like that. At least I've never seen that. So it's
If you think about it, the Ultimate Fighters from UFC were kind of like closed like that because there was no fans really.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you still have it. Yeah, well, you're right. The whole team and everything. But what I'm saying is, like, such a large event like that.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, you know, one championship. It's a title fight. You know, it's crazy that take, you know, I mean, right now with everything going on, even you're looking at big sporting events that have to play behind closed doors, you know, where thousands of fans are going to be. I mean, how much does how much was the arena normally supposed to hold? Like in the...
off the top of my head, I'm not certain, but it is
it's probably like a 10,000 or something, or
yeah, I think somewhere in the neighborhood. It's like I almost want to grab the phone and look it up real quick. But I mean, yeah, it's a good size, it's a very, very good size arena. Yeah. And it was, you know, the opening ceremonies when the fireworks are going off and the big air raid siren and stuff, and it's really strange, really echoey.
So, you know, what the other fighters that were on the card, did people stay and watch, like the other people that were part of the card, or no? Like,
No, they were generally getting people in and getting them out of there. So by the time we fought, I think it was even more of a skeleton crew. It was just the event staff and then some of the staff for the venue. So, you know, people were getting bussed out of there. I can't say for certain, but I didn't see anybody afterwards at all. So
true. Yeah. And I think the crazy thing about that is, I mean, obviously for people watching on TV, like, you know, Vin and us that were watching on the app and everything, I think it doesn't really, I don't think it really honestly takes away from the experience as much. You would think it would. I think it's more like if you were, you know, obviously if you're the person in the ring or you're the, especially like you're the coach or any part of the team, it does seem surreal. But I think in, you know, with the way technology is, I mean, we're focused on the fight, you know, and everything. Cause you know, when Janet wins and they bring out the belt and the confetti starts raining down, I mean, it looks just as exciting, I think, as it would have.
Oh, it was.
You know, exactly. Like as if there was a crowd there, you know, cause that's still,
but you definitely can hear, you hear the difference though. Cause I actually remember hearing your voice, you know, when I was watching, like I heard you giving instruction. But sometimes you don't really hear it as clear, you know, at normal events.
You
could definitely hear it in the replays and such. And she said, I think in an interview afterwards, that, you know, she said she can always hear me, but this time it was just, you know, absolutely crystal clear, super loud. And stuff, yeah. So
she's like, I actually heard him too much this time.
Like,
I got it. You know, but it's kind of funny.
Dang, no, God. No.
Yeah. But no, you know, what's cool, you know, going back to the fight and to everything that had to do with the fight, I mean, you brought up some really good stuff because, you know, going back to the original time that they fought, the first time they fought, that was Janet's first fight, right, with one?
Yes.
And so I remember, I think you even hit me up and we discussed a little bit via Messenger, you know. And, you know, I think everybody saw, as the fight went on, definitely Janet weathered the initial storm where, you know, Stamp was trying to, you know, Stamp likes to throw bombs. She likes to throw heavy, but, Janet was able to stay in there. Like, and I told you, like, straight up, I was like, damn, you know, I watching that first fight, I was scared for Janet. Cause you know, you didn't know, I think none of us knew. In a way, we all were obviously very confident in Janet, but at the same time, it's like, how much is the big show going to affect? Because you always worry about that, you know? And I did think we saw it at first. She was being real passive. She was respecting Stamp a lot. But as she got her bearings, you know, as she found her way, like you said, 100%, you could start seeing that had she gotten extra rounds, you know, had it been a... That first time it was a 3-round fight, not a 5-round, right? Like this one? Was this one 5 rounds?
No, it was 5 rounds.
Yeah. So, I mean, oh yeah. So basically, but you could tell, like, she had it been gone longer, she was starting to take over. She was getting more comfortable. And then this thing was just night and day, you know, like the comparison. She wasn't afraid of Stamp. She wasn't afraid of the, I think she knew she could take the power. I mean, there were, you know, look from the outside looking in, or from, you know, our perspective. I mean, she definitely took a lot more leg kicks than I would have liked her to. And I was like, oh no, you know, but yeah, besides that, man, it was awesome to see. Like, it was, you know, I think there are things that we'll bring up, but, you know, the whole idea of kind of, people or one kind of questioning or putting that graphic out there of, you know, who did you think won the fight? I thought it was pretty, I mean, it was a close fight, but I still felt Janet took it, you know, at the end of the day.
Easy.
Yeah. Easy. You know, for me at least. And I think Vinny said the same thing. I think a lot of people saw the same thing. She was by far the more active fighter. She looked crisper. She looked cleaner. You know, I saw more of a Stamp chasing the big bomb shots, you know, the more variation in techniques was Janet. I mean, it was just, like you said, night and day, like, and she, it seems like Janet knew it. Like you said, she knew it. And then she just seems so much more fired up with everything that we were seeing in the lead up and the videos and her talking, and she just seemed like laser focused. And I mean, I think you can tell us in the lead up, how her mentality was as compared to the first fight, you know, what was it? Was it a lot different? Did you see it completely different, a completely different Janet?
I think, you know, like I touched on earlier, just the experience of, okay, that was her fifth fight, you know, for that promotion. So she'd been through all that. And then, you know, the very first fight was, you know, same thing, main event. You know, so it was baptism by fire. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like she was starting out on the lead-in. Yeah, exactly. And then getting, you know, small bits of having to deal with the promotion. It went from, you know, local shows here or IFMA-type events that, you know, you don't really have press to, you know, to the weight of a main event for, you know, one of the biggest shows on the planet. So just that experience of okay, this is familiar, you know, I've been through all this, I know what to expect, you know. And you like to say that stuff's not going to bother you, but, you know, let's be realistic, that's, you know, that could be daunting for people. And you know, I think it bothered her in the beginning, you know. Like I said, didn't know what to expect, but this time out, it's like, okay, I'm familiar with all this. I know exactly what needs to be, what's going to be asked of me outside of just the competition itself. You know, the lead up was, like I said, it was typical. So no surprises. You could just focus on getting the job done.
Well, I'm sure the few TKO victories before this fight were some added confidence also.
I think so. I definitely think so. Like I said, just, you know, just overall the experience of being in the company now, knowing what to expect. And then understanding that, you know, opportunities it might not come around again, or it might be, you know, another year or longer, you know. So it's like, she carpied the hell out of that deal. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just like,
yeah, for sure.
Do you foresee a rubber match in Muay Thai, like a third fight in Muay Thai rules?
I would actually like that a lot. You know, I know I'm not supposed to read the internet, but people are like, yeah, third fight, Muay Thai rules. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. You know, that sounds awesome.
I mean, yeah, I think it only, honestly, I mean, I think it's going to happen, or I feel like that it should happen, because, you know, Stamp won the first one, and we always know there's like that whole rubber match thing. So Stamp won the first one, Janet won the second one. I think they're both, neither one of the fights was boring. They're both very exciting fighters. You know, you could see from the feedback that people like watching them both. You know, so, you know, if that opportunity arises, you know, I obviously I'm pretty sure you guys are down for it. And, you know, I think it, you know, hopefully it can happen sooner rather than later when all this other crap passes, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it'll happen, and it would be great to see, you know? It would be great to see, because they put on exciting fights. I mean, I was watching it, and like I said, don't do this, guys, because I was in my car driving to work, but I'm watching a fight. But you know, I was like nervous the whole time, because at the same time I'm keeping my eyes on the road and I'm hearing you know, and then it's like, oh shit, you know, I don't want to make sure that you know who's getting hit, what, you know, you hear a real hard smack and you don't know what's going on. So you know, I had to like look at my phone and you know. But
and then you got me messaging you in between rounds.
Exactly. What did you think about it? What did you think? Oh yeah. So yeah, man, not advisable, but you know, you do what you can, for especially, you know, with the time difference, but you want to watch.
Well worth it, right?
Well worth it. Yeah. So, I mean, I would love to see it again. So actually, you know, that moves us into the next question, I guess, is now that all this has happened, you know, the fight and everything, you know, and I think we're kind of in a holding pattern, obviously, with things. Yeah. But, you know, what have you heard? You know, what are the next steps? Do you know at all right now? Granted, you know, the situation going on, but.
In regards to just Janet specifically?
Yeah, Janet specifically, and like her chances with, I mean, her stuff with Juan and everything, or.
Nothing yet. You know, I know, like I said, they've. Well, close fight, right?
Yeah.
No denying. So I think the general consensus is, you know, they're trying to build that third match, whether it's going to happen sooner or later or what rule set. At this point, no idea. There's been no real contact, you know, because I know they're working through all their issues with their shows. The Vietnam show, for example, that was supposed to be next Friday would have been the 20th. Jackie was supposed to be on that show. That event was postponed till later. You know, so they're doing what they need to do to get their schedule back on track. But as far as, you know, as far as what's going to happen with, you know, a rubber match or whatever, I think it's something that'll happen, but, you know, don't know the rule set, don't know the time frame. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I'd like, and I think Janet would too. I think I could speak for her on this. You know, a match under Muay Thai rules, whether, you know, it's direct or, you know, if it has to be somebody else first, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I know she really wants to get back into Muay Thai and moving towards that, you know, that Muay Thai belt in the organization. That would be awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
that's our background. That's where we came from. That's the sport she started in, and what, you know, rule structure that she prefers and that I prefer. It's just the thing happened with kickboxing, and you know, that's the opportunity. And I mean, don't get me wrong, that's great. I think it's cool that she can. It adds a little bit of diversity. You know, we got to attack things differently. Train differently and just try new things out. But yeah, I really like to do it under Muay Thai rules again.
I'm just curious why they, I mean, I don't know if you know, but why would they pick kickboxing rules when you have two people that are Muay Thai background?
I don't know. Initially, I guess when the Super Series started, they started with kickboxing. They didn't, you know, the first fights that they ever did were kickboxing rules. I know Stamp's first fight with Kai Ting. Actually, Kai Ting was supposed to fought Yod Sherry. That was like the inaugural women's atomweight kickboxing title fight. So again, I have to double check my history, but I think they started with kickboxing first and then added the Muay Thai fights afterwards. Why it went this way, you know, I don't know. But yeah, whatever. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still getting fights.
For sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, for a North American based female professional, five fights in the span of a year is, you know, pretty wow. Goddamn good. Yeah.
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 You know. So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll take whatever, you know, she's like, oh, whatever, kickboxing, Muay Thai, just no MMA.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how it should be. But
I mean, you know,
yeah.
No disrespect to the athletes of the sport, that sport, but it's just something she said she's not interested in doing, and I'm thankful for that too. So.
Yeah.
Just different, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, one thing I guess I wanted to ask Brian, I mean, you know, to kind of go more into, you know, you as a coach, you know, this huge success, obviously, you know, you're, you know, with everything going on here in the States when it comes to, you know, United States Muay Thai Federation and the growth of Muay Thai in America and everything. The one thing I wanted to ask you also as a coach, you know, how long, I mean, remind me again, how long has it been that you've been coaching Janet?
Let's see. She came to my gym after she graduated university in 2009. Mm-hmm. So 11 years. But when she came back in after she graduated, or when she came in after she graduated, she had a fight at her previous gym, mm-hmm. Which was up in San Luis Obispo, Budo Room, with Eric Sandal, who was her coach. She was there for one fight and then school was over and then was working out, but spent like the next 4 years, 5 years, just focusing on the career, on the engineering.
Yeah.
So it was the end of 2013, that she said, "Hey, I'm pretty settled in. I want to fight again." Yeah. So realistically, in terms of like really working, it was, you know, last quarter of 2013 till, you know, till now. So yeah. What is that, 6 years and change, really?
Yeah.
Yep, about six and a half.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, you would think about, like, the one thing I guess I wanted to, the reason I was asking is, you know, we like to obviously highlight, you know, both you and Vinny are coaches, you know. I think the one thing we always like to highlight is, you know, the relationship between coach and fighter. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you know, obviously we know you guys have a tight bond. You guys have been, you know, she's been training quite some time with you. I guess, you know, it's a huge accomplishment. I mean, as a coach, how did it make you feel when she raised, you know, when she got that belt and everything, you know, how does it feel? I mean, did you ever have an accomplishment like that in your career as a coach, or has this been like what you feel is one of the biggest titles you've won, with one of your fighters?
It's definitely the biggest title.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one championship, you know, I mean, definitely the biggest title. And, you know, in terms of feelings, man, it was like, it was pretty unbelievable, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cried a little bit.
That's what we wanted to hear, man. I wanted to.
You're the only coach in America that can say that. You have an athlete with a one championship title.
Yeah, she's the, you know, not someone said, "Oh, it's first female U.S." I'm like, no, it's first U.S. It's first American Super Series world champion. So, you know, wow, mm-hmm. that's pretty cool. And you know, I demand that everyone bow before me now.
Well, look at that. You got a lot of, you know, first U.S. Coach to have an athlete with one championship. First person to be on a video Striking Corner podcast. I mean, you're doing pretty good here.
Yeah.
For the impending apocalypse that's happening right now. This right here. But it's just like, yeah, it's like, what's going on here? It's like I finally start getting the recognition and we'll in. So, you know, that is typical.
Exactly, man. Everyone's like, 2020 is definitely your year, man.
Oh, it's my year. It's the year that, you know, we turned into Mad Max. And stuff, so.
Yeah, no, but that's cool, man. I mean, I think it just has to be, you know, I don't have my own gym right now or anything like that, but, you know, I remember coaching fighters, you know, when I've assisted at other gyms and stuff. And it's just a huge accomplishment to get even local state titles, you know, and stuff like that. You get really close with some of your athletes, especially the ones that you see have the dedication, have the drive, want to continue and, you know, and continuously come back, and you do grow that bond. And I know that your bond, you know, with Janet and when your team, you know, we can see it, you know, that's the one thing I think a lot of people appreciate about Boxing Works and about everybody that comes out of your gym and yourself is just how dedicated you guys are, kind of how tight-knit that group is, how talented the group is. And especially now, I mean, I don't think anybody in the world, honestly, I don't think there's anybody who could dislike Janet at all. I mean, she's just, besides being a fighter, she's cool. You know, she's a well-spoken person, a great ambassador for the sport. So it's, you know, it's really cool. It's really cool to see that all come to fruition. And knowing you, obviously, us knowing you and seeing you, it's cool for us to see that success, you know. And not only that, not only because, you know, we know you, but also because the sport, you know, both Vinny and I, and with the podcast and everything, we've always wanted Muay Thai to grow. We've always wanted to see Muay Thai prevail and American Muay Thai to start growing. And it's really, like you said, you know, it's not, Janet isn't the first female fighter. She is the first fighter to do that and reach that height. And I think in a lot of ways, Janet has been a trailblazer for that for some, quite some time. I mean, we've talked to her on the podcast. We've talked about her, a lot because it's just been consistent. You know, she's been so consistent, whether it's one championship or whether it was going to IFMA's, representing at IFMA's or representing at Pan Americans, the Pan American championships. She's just been constantly grinding and grinding and grinding and grinding. And I think it's cool to see that happen, you know, and it's going to be amazing to see what things come out of this. It just sucks that right now everything's at a halt when it was, you know, moving forward, you know, but I think, you know, this is going to definitely help Muay Thai in the long run as well, because people are noticing, you know. People always say, you know, we need an American champion or somebody so that people start focusing on Muay Thai. And it's like, now we got that, you know, and it's awesome. So, you know,
congratulations.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it. You know, we really do. You know, just the positive messages we've received, she's received from people all over. It's been outstanding. You know, I think I can speak for her on some of this, in that, what am I trying to say? I'm tongue tied. I'm tongue tied here. It's been overwhelming. It's been unreal. It's been fantastic. And it's a testament to her work ethic. And then, you know, she's one that's always, and I feel the same way myself, that she's so, in that position, you said now that a lot of people are behind her, and I don't know if you want to say a sort of a face of the art or the sport in the States, but, you know, she's always want to recognize the people, the trailblazers from before, like Miriam, like Tiffany, all the other women that have came before and made this sort of thing possible. And then, you know, also just looking forward to sort of that, well, this time, her time now, and then, you know, whoever's next. It's just exciting. It's exciting to see. It's exciting to be a part of.
Yeah. You know? Oh, definitely, for sure. I mean, and I like I said, it's a crazy, because that actually, when you bring up Tiffany, you bring up Miriam. I mean, those were they were also firsts of their kind in as well. You know, whether it was Miriam, you know, getting gold, correct, at the World Championships. And also,
and then her countless world titles.
Countless world titles, and fighting, beating, you know, Julie Kitchen and everything, when, you know, she was the quote unquote queen of Muay Thai, you know. And then Tiffany, you know, Tiffany was a story as well, obviously, with Glory, and then, you know, she lost in Lion Fight and Glory, and then she, you know, she lost to Anissa, who's a really amazing athlete, but then came back and then, you know, won the title. So we just have a lot of American champions, really, with, you know, or that currently, I mean, you have two, you have, you know, Janet in one championship and Tiffany now with Glory, but it's just really, it is really a great time for American, both Muay Thai and kickboxing, you know, and I think it's awesome, you know, and especially, like I said, Janet has, I think Tiffany more so obviously for Muay Thai as well, but then she, you know, she's focused a lot on Glory and Tiffany and Janet is really kind of, although this was a kickboxing title, I think she's been carrying the torch for Muay Thai. And, you know, and it's been awesome to see that both of them are doing so well. And in, and as well as the entire team that's right now with Muay Thai, you know, we've seen it with the adult squad, with the youth squad. It's really starting to pick up. And I think this win by Janet was like, for a lot of people, just like kind of the, not only the icing on the cake, but just like the proof of the proof in the pudding of like, hey, we've been putting in the work. And now you're starting to see the results, you know, the U.S., which used to be behind or so much for a lot of people was behind and not, you know, up to par for with World Muay Thai is just like all of a sudden, hey, we're here now. You were wondering where we are and here we are.
You know, and you know, I'd like to just point out that, you know, taking that path of, you know, going through the local tournaments and working up to international events, IFMA and such, and then, you know, working closely with the USMF as, you know, for her as an athlete is absolutely, you know, we feel it's absolutely crucial in getting to this point, just getting that experience, you know, not taking any shortcuts. Like you said, just grinding it out, just being there, just taking every opportunity possible.
So you're telling me that Janet didn't ask for a title fight with Stamp after two professional wins?
Didn't ask for it? Or?
No, you know how like people usually, like what I'm saying is how people usually just like ask for a title fight after they've won like two amateur fights or something like that. So she didn't just jump in the ring all of a sudden.
All the, like we've done the steps completely wrong. Like it was, you know, I don't know. It's close to 50 fights in total at this point. I still can't get her to do like a t-shirt where, you know, it's people that have their, hey, I'm having my first smoker. Here's my sponsor t-shirt. I can't get a t-shirt out of her, you know, and stuff like that. So,
yeah, man.
One of these days we'll figure it out.
One of these days you'll figure out the right way to do things, Brian.
Yeah, we'll get that out of there.
Yeah, man. But it's awesome, man. I mean, we're so excited about that and everything. So tell me, man, I mean, obviously, you know, what is in the future for Boxing Works? I know, you know, you obviously you said Jackie, her fight's on hold. And you have any other fighters coming up, any other things that you wanted to discuss when it came to, you know, your athletes or let's say Muay Thai in particular, or Muay Thai in the U.S. and the growth of it. Anything you wanted to maybe bring to the table?
Well, let's see, waiting to kind of get things reconfirmed. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm sure it has to do with, the current, pandemic we're all going through, but waiting for things to get situated for Jackie again. And I'm mm-hmm. sure it'll be the same fight, which was going to be a rematch with Amber Kitchen. So waiting on that. Mm-hmm. Glory's got things, I guess they're on hold for a little bit. So, I've got another kid. Well, they're all kids because I'm old now, but I mean, yeah, these are the boys. But Nathan Ward, who's you know, signed with Glory, so he's waiting for his next fight with Glory. Victor, who you guys know, I've done some work for you. Victor's from university and training again, and looking for, you know, just whatever's next. Maybe USMTO, and then I've got a good handful of, you know, more amateurs that are like, we're looking at USMTO West. If that's going. Otherwise, just had a few things pulled out from under the rug because of the health situation. A couple local shows aren't happening. So, looking to April and beyond, that's all I can do right now. Just wait and see, but
So, I mean, although I don't want us to obviously dwell on it, but let's, you know, conclude with kind of like maybe some uplifting or at least some advice, I guess. I mean, both of you guys are business owners. Both of you guys are gym owners. And I've seen a lot of stuff going around, obviously. You know, we want to talk about it at the same time because it is a part of our business now with everything that's going on. Yeah. You know, both of you guys are gym owners. It's, you know, how difficult has this situation, I think, been? What do you guys think, you know, both Vinny and you, you know, with the, are people panicking in your case? Are people, you know, supporting you guys? Like, how's it work? I know a lot of people are worried. Some of the gyms, you know, people, some places have said, hey, you know, we're going to shut down completely. Then the whole social distancing thing. And then we're in a combat sport, you know, so you're going to have that closeness and things like that. I mean, what would you, I guess from just your perspectives, I know, you know, you can't speak for everybody's business, but from your perspective, what is your approach and what do you guys think about it, about everything going on? And what are you trying to do to stay afloat, I guess?
It's tough.
Yeah.
Cause we, I mean, for me anyway, we don't know how bad this is going to get, mm-hmm. you know, right now. As of today, they just closed the schools in New York starting tomorrow until April 20th. That's the earliest they'll reopen.
Wow.
So that's over a month from now. Mm-hmm. So, but we don't know how bad this is going to get. I haven't experienced a whole lot of panic yet from my members, maybe one or two, mm-hmm. you know, looking to freeze their accounts. I have a few, you know, that are like, you know, we're just not going to come, but we're going to leave our membership as is. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough situation because for a lot of gyms, you know, if you do what most people are going to ask and freeze their accounts, then how do you survive? Mm-hmm. You know, not many gyms, especially in Muay Thai, have enough cash flow to float the gym for, you know, the rent, the utilities, the payroll, everything for a month or two. Mm-hmm. You know, not many people can do that. So it's tough. I mean, there's situations where you can say, hey, I'll kind of, I guess, freeze your account, but you're still going to pay now and I'll give you the credit when you come back. Mm. You know, there's that, that option. There's a lot of different ways you can look at it. Like I myself have explored the option of, if people are absolutely adamant about freezing, which I don't know how well it would work out. That's why I'm toying with the idea. Like if you think about it, the way billing works, it's on a 30-day schedule pretty much, cause it's the same day every month. So let's just say it's 30 days. The idea I had for freezing was, instead of billing someone on 30 days, if they want to freeze for a month, I'll change it to 35 days. So they pay the same amount for 35 days. And if you do that for 6 months, it's essentially giving them that month that they want to freeze for. So, and you still keep your cash flow coming in. So there's a lot of different ways you can do it, but it all depends on how long this really lasts.
Yeah.
And how bad it gets.
Yeah.
So I don't think my personal opinion is, I guarantee you that my gym is cleaner than most people's houses.
Yeah.
So I guarantee that too,
knowing Vinny.
Yeah. So I don't think that that's the issue. It's the hysteria of, you know, the media and everything. Yeah. That, I mean, it's a shitty situation. It's pretty bad. Yeah. And it's gonna get worse. But I don't think it's as bad as the media has made it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't buy a sheet of toilet paper anywhere right now. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And this virus is not giving you diarrhea. I don't understand the toilet paper thing, but yeah. I mean, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get the toilet paper thing either. It feels almost like we're living in The Sims and someone's just like, yeah, let me sprinkle on some fuck with these guys dust.
But yeah, it's, I think that's just the state of the, it's so weird because it really is like, I think people, there's just people that, I don't know, man. I think people just, some people are just fucking lemmings, man. And I hate to say that because obviously, yes, you want to take things. It is a serious issue and you want to take all the precautions you need to take and things like that. But then there's all this like hysteria and this panic. And then I think just one, I don't know why it became the toilet paper became a thing, because it seems like everybody, I guess some people just get so caught up on it and they see other people doing it. And I think it's just like I said, man, it's like lemmings, man. They just see other people doing it and they're like, well, these people are grabbing a shitload of toilet paper. Maybe there's something I don't know, you know, they start grabbing it. And it's like, well, I don't know. I don't really think that's the issue, man. Like that's not a, like, as a lot of people have said, like, if you really need, okay, so let's say there's Okay, so in like Italy and these places that have been really greatly affected, you know, and Vinny can tell you because he has family over there, and it's, what is it, like a 30-day lockdown, or, you know, they're going to have like a 30-day, they've had a 30-day lockdown, something like that.
I don't know the exact days.
Yeah, but it's like, even if you're locked down for 30 days, you look at these people at Costco that are buying like pallets full of fucking toilet paper, and you're just like, dude, if you got like 100-something rolls for like a 14-day, let's say a 14-day quarantine, I think your issues are far superior. The issue is far worse than just coronavirus, man. If you got to shit like six or seven times a day, man, there's probably something really bad going on. Yeah, there's something else going on there. Maybe you have irritable bowel syndrome or something, man, you know, like, but yeah, man, I mean, it's all jokes aside, I guess, for the thing about the gyms, is just because I'm seeing on Facebook, you know, a lot of friends of ours with the same thing, you know, we're cleaning our gym, we're making sure it's clean, yeah. Guys come in, you know. I saw another, it wasn't a meme, but it was somebody saying like, hey, if you really love your gym and if you really support, you know, your coaches and things like that, and you have the ability to do so, you know, don't freeze your membership, because when all this is over, and it will be over, if you did do that, you might not have a gym to go back to, you know? So yeah. I think that's really important.
That's a thing too, because a lot of people, you know, that like members to gyms, they can't see past wasting that $150 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm spending $150 and I'm not going to be able to go. Why should I pay it? They can't see past that $150. Meanwhile, if you really, if that gym has really done for you what it should, you know, mm-hmm. change your life, which is that's what gyms should do. If it's done that for you, then that $150 really should not make a difference. You should want to give it to, you know, that $150 goes to the staff members. It's putting food on their tables. You know, it's helping support families. So if you take that away, and then the next person takes that away, and then everybody takes it away, then there goes that community.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
It's just, you got to hope that people want to just show their support in times like this. I mean, I could understand if, you know, I guess if it gets really bad and shit really hits the fan, and it's like 6 months and we're still closed, and that's a different story.
Yeah.
But a month, 2 months, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
For sure. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Brian. I mean, and you're out in California. You guys are both in pretty affected areas, I would say, you know, New York, California. The cases are higher than, let's say, other states. I mean, and this is what is today? Today's like March 15th. So this is, you know, we'll probably come out in 2 days or so. So it'll be like the 17th when if you guys are watching this, and hopefully if you are watching this way later, this won't even apply to anybody. And I hope that's sooner rather than later, you know, but, you know, Brian, in your case, I mean, I think you were saying, you know, people were still going and everything, and it's been, you know, but there have been, I think California was trying to close down all non-essential businesses, that kind of thing. And, like, how do you, when that kind of stuff happens, I mean, when there's government saying, you know, you got to shut down, is that something that, you know, is it something that they tell you, like, everybody has to shut down, and it's like across the state, or how does that work? Do you know?
Got dark here. Hold on a second. thus far, I mean, they've closed down.
Did they shut off your lights?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah. Had that natural lighting in there. Yeah. I realized dark, get dark here. They've closed down bars and wineries, mm-hmm. and I don't even think all the schools are shut down yet. Mm-hmm. Certain districts, my daughter's district is closed down. So presently, there hasn't been any you know, moratoriums or anything like that on the business. I know a lot of people are. You know, being very cautious and proactive about closing down. And I know a lot of people that are doing the opposite, that are doing everything they can to ensure that their facility is as clean as possible, and demonstrating that. And then, you know, also providing that I don't know, that one beacon, that sense of community,
yeah,
for people that you know, is, is missing. So it does go against the social distancing that's being pushed, but at the same time, you know, it's providing, you know, community for people. Now, whether or not this is going to be something that was ill thought out or if in the end it won't matter, I mean, that remains to be seen. So, you know, it's tough. I mean, you know, hindsight's going to be 2020. We'll all know in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, for everybody that, you know, I just really hope it doesn't affect the greater community in terms of schools, gyms.
Yeah.
You know, in the long run, I'd like all these people to, you know, to be here in 6 weeks or 2 months or a month or less, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Man. I mean, that's so, what it is. I mean, I think it's really kind of like, in a lot of ways, like I said, you know, like I see other countries, and, you know, I don't want to get into much into the politics of it, but you see the other countries and they're shutting down, let's say, for 30 days. Because the whole idea is let's mitigate as much as we can so that the cases, you know, the cases drop. And I think hopefully if everybody kind of abides by those rules where they really are, let's say, okay, so you mitigate and you don't go and you do have the social distancing and this thing blows over in a month because everybody kind of abided by those rules, then we'll probably get out of this thing quicker than if we continue, you know. And I really feel like for us, at least, gyms are the least of your problems. I mean, you see people going, like, there were people that were like going out to bars and restaurants, and you're just kind of like, yeah, well, maybe that's not the best thing to do, you know. And because I think in a lot of ways, you know, at the gym, like you said, you guys are, you know, I know everyone keeps their gym squeaky clean, and it's really the same amount of, it's the same people, it's the same members, you know, it's not just strangers coming in and out of the place. Whereas, you know, like a bar or a restaurant or places that are really, really, really heavily have like heavy, you know, foot traffic or coming in and out, that, you know, I think they're way more susceptible than some place like a gym, you know, like, well, like a gym, like our gym, not like a, you know, like a huge LA Fitness kind of thing. But our gyms, you know, I think they're, you know, hopefully those things, people realize that and your members realize that. And, you know, we definitely want everybody to stay afloat. We have a lot of friends in this business, and hopefully it blows over sooner rather than later. And you know, then hopefully in the next episode, we're all just chatting about Muay Thai and just kicking ass and bullshit instead of like the coronavirus. But so back to let's kind of go over, you know, get out of that subject and kind of end on a high note here, you know. So Brian, like, once again, man, you know, happy to always bring you on the show.
Appreciate it.
I know you guys have a lot of future plans, which I'm sure will, although they're postponed at the moment, will probably come to fruition, and we'll probably see some great stuff coming out of Boxing Works. Congrats again with Janet and everything, man. It's awesome for us, even to, I guess, live vicariously in a lot of ways, because, you know, we're such a tight knit community, I think, in a lot of ways, you know. That's the one thing. We're a small community, so we have the ability to kind of support each other and be very vocal, even if it's just through Facebook or Skype or Google Hangouts, like we're doing right now, to support one another and just make sure this thing keeps on growing, and then make sure that, like, hey, when Janet wins, or like if Vinny's fighter wins, or if, you know, another one of our good friends from anywhere in the country gets an opportunity or a big shot to go fight on a big card, whether it's in Thailand or Singapore or, you know, wherever it is, where we can just always make sure we're supporting and tuning in, you know, and supporting them. Cause I think that's the big deal, especially with Janet's thing. I think a lot of people, I mean, Vinny was obviously hitting me up and making sure I was watching, and I was like, yeah, I'm watching. And I'm sure a lot of
people, driving.
Yeah. And driving, but I'm sure a lot of people were doing that. I mean, you know, I guess just to finish on that, were you, I know you were super focused obviously on the fight, but did you have people telling you after the fact, hey man, we tuned in, we were watching, it was just, you know, all your friends from here in the States? I mean, because, you know, the time difference always does play a factor. But Did you see a lot of that feedback from people?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And almost instantly, I think I was still in the cage or circle, as it's called. And like, I could feel my phone like buzzing and vibrating. So I was like, I know what that is. I know what that is. Yeah. Which was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, the outpouring of people, support and congratulations and you know, other people there. Oh, we all cried too. It was a big cry fest.
I'm sure it was, man. I'm sure it was.
It was joyous. You know, it was something else. So,
yeah, man, that's got to be a great feeling. And we're happy for you. We're happy for Janet. We're happy for the whole Boxing Works team. So I put your name there and your Instagram up there on screen. Do you have anything else you want to add? Maybe like Boxing Works, social media, or anything else to follow coming up? Let them know.
You can. I mean, I'm so intrinsically connected with the gym that it's basically the same source of news, except for I just throw in some like the occasional punk rock thing. But past that, it's you can get pretty much most of the news to the gym. Through my socials. So nice. That's good.
All right.
So I think it's just Boxing Works. I don't even know what it is off the top of my head. I don't even know what mine is. What is it? It's my name.
I made sure I checked. So,
what is it? I can't remember. Did I change it? At Boxing Works on Instagram is probably the most frequently updated thing. So,
okay, cool. So, guys, remember you can follow Brian at Brian Popejoy, as you see on the screen, but also check out the gym. Boxing Works. And we wish you obviously nothing but the best, especially through this time, but obviously we're going to get over this, man. And the fights are going to continue. And I think the success is going to continue. So as always, man, love to have you on the show. And
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
And thanks for stopping by, man.
My pleasure. I'll see you guys soon. And everybody out there, hang tight, hold on. Keep the PMA, keep it all positive. We're all going to get through this thing. And, hopefully in a couple of weeks or a month, it'll just be another meme, you know?
For sure. Yeah. We were talking about that. Vin and I were saying like a couple of months, we'll be laughing about it, or we'll just, I think everybody needs that. So, guys. Thank you guys. Thank you again, Brian. And, we'll talk soon.
All right, guys, be safe. I'll see you soon.
All right.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So that was Brian Popejoy, and we were, as always, happy to have him on the show. One of the best coaches in America, top-notch guy, and he's one of the IFMA coaches. I mean, sorry, for the USMF coaches for the Muay Thai team, and coach over at Boxing Works is doing some great things with his team at Boxing Works, Janet Todd, Jackie Boonton, and everybody there. So, we were really excited to have him on the show. And that's it for our show today, guys. Like we were saying on the show, guys, keep safe, keep doing all the basic things that you need to do to kind of get through this crisis or this pandemic or whatever you want to call it. It'll be over soon. We're 100%. Let's stay positive. Let's keep each other. This community is tight, and I'm glad that we have it. So just, do what you can to help out if you can. And, good luck to everybody out there. Vin, you got anything else to say?
Just that, all this time that we haven't been doing the show, I realized today that I did not miss you babbling on.
Nice, man. As always, Vin with the comic relief, and we are actually, I hope we're actually friends, but I don't know that for sure. But
don't we'll be see. Too sure.
I'm not too sure. But anyway, guys, thanks for joining us as always. You can see there on the bottom, if you guys want to check us out on Instagram, Striking Corner, Facebook, Striking Corner, and on Twitter, Striking Corner. Check us out on the website. www.strikingcorner.com, and you can find our podcast where all podcasts are found, on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, pretty much everywhere.
You don't have to tell them.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I do, because if they're on YouTube right now, they want to they should listen to the episode over and over. Anyway, also make sure to leave a comment below, and also on iTunes, please leave a rating and a comment. It helps us rise up in the ranks there. And now that we're back, you know, we're going to have lots of content for you. So we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Have a wonderful evening.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.